Welcome to Inspired Artist Podcast with me, Sirgun Kaur. In this episode, I get to speak with and meet Alexia Chelum, who is an artist from the European Kundalini yoga scene, which I'm not super familiar with. I had heard her music on various playlists that kept popping up for me on Spotify, and so I was familiar with her sound, but did not know where it came from. And so this was very educational for me. It was also really fun to discover how similar Alexia and mine's interests are. We talked about law of attraction, quantum physics, the power of letting go of everything before you go to sleep, the difference between knowing something intellectually and really integrating it into your life and your habits, mantras, English language songs, how she came to, you know, become this touring Kundalini yoga mantra artist, and then how she came to become interested in writing songs in her native tongue in English. The confusing nature of time zones we talked about, how much she loves food, and the fun personalities that different languages have. This episode is filled with so much humor and wisdom and just worldliness and intelligence. I really had a lot of fun listening to Alexia and learning about her life and how she thinks. And at the end of the episode, I'm going to play an excerpt from her latest release called Teardrops. So stick around for that. And here we go.
How's it going?
Good, good. Ooh. So you're now the second person that I will have had on here that I've never met.
Oh, fun. Cool.
So I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. It's Alexia?
Alexia, yeah.
Okay, cool. Wonderful. So You're in Toronto right now.
I am in Toronto right now.
You don't sound like you're from Toronto.
No, I'm not from here.
So tell me about that.
So I've been here for about 10 days and I've got about another 10 left or so. And I'm loving it. I've always wanted to come here for the autumn. And I was in the States recently doing some music projects and that kind of came to an end. And I was like, oh, okay, well, Toronto's kind of up the road. Maybe go check it out. And so far, amazingly, I'm loving it. Walking around the streets, I just went for a walk earlier. The autumn here is stunning. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I bet. I've never been.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where were you before this?
So before here, I was in New York. Mm-hmm. I was in the States for 3 months. I was in New York, I was in Nashville, and I was in Asheville, and I was in Seattle.
Ooh, those are some great music places.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I'm here.
Wonderful. So are you recording something new? Is that what the projects are?
Yeah, I am recording lots of new stuff, which is really exciting. I'm just kind of exploring and experimenting new things and being creative with what comes up and what feels exciting in the moment, you know, rather than kind of planning or thinking too much, just kind of going with the flow of the songs that are flowing through me. And yeah, I was in Nashville recently, and I was with a friend of mine who lives in Chicago and Indiana, I think, and he does recording down there. So he was there at the time and I was there, and he kind of carries around his recording equipment. And yeah, he's such a great guy. I've known him for such a long time, and he's a great producer. He knows my voice, he knows me as well, so he's like, we work really well together. And yeah, so we were doing some really fun recordings. We had a week and we did five. It was a really good week, actually. We did five of my songs, just kind of the template of them. So we got the voice guitar down and then the idea of what the songs are going to sound like, which is a really interesting way to do song production, which I've never quite done before. It's like you listen to the song and then from there you kind of hear what the song wants, if you know what I mean, like instrumentally.
I would call that a scratch track, but is there like a difference that you're
Oh, I've never heard of a scratch track. Is that like a basic, like a sketch kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like voice guitar sketch of like whether we'll put beats or not, or whether it's more strings. One of the tracks just I was listening to, I wrote it ages ago and did a rough recording, and every time I listened to it, I was just beatboxing along to it. And I don't beatbox, but you know when you just like make up stuff? I was like, oh, maybe we should put that in there. And we did, and it was really fun, but I only lasted like 30 seconds. So, you know, I usually do all the songs live and all the way through.
Okay.
Boxing, I had to be like, no, I'm only doing 30 seconds. And
well, you can always loop it. That's the beauty that's of recording. What we did,
exactly. I was like, I'm out of breath. So. But that was really fun. And then we also did a really fun improv, which is that he is currently doing he's a great electric guitarist, and he does kind of looping stuff, quite trancey. And he's been playing in a friend of his yoga class. So they've been doing yoga. She's been teaching the class, and he's just been kind of background music, just looping guitar, kind of, you know, just soundscape going on. And we were like, oh, it'd be fun to do something together. So he kind of came up with an idea and prepared that. And that was like about 40 minutes long. And then I just kind of sat listening to it and improvised voice on top. And oh my God, it was incredible. Like, it was so trippy and trancey just from listening to it. And I don't know what I sang. Like, some words made sense, some didn't. Some were just oohs and ahs. Some were like a made up language. Some were actual words. And then from there, we did another creative song the last day, which was again just spontaneous and also really powerful. So it was really fun, really fun.
Sweet. So is there an album concept for this, or is it going to be kind of different individual releases?
So the five songs will probably be like an EP, the five of mine that we did the scratch for. And the other one for the yoga class was a 40 minute. So that'll be a thing in itself, separate.
Okay.
With like a different cover and a different release. Like that's the length of a whole album, almost more time actually than my five songs put together. You know what I mean? Mine's going to be an EP and that's going to be an album. It's quite funny. And then the other one I think will probably be a single. So yeah, just exploring with music and it's doing lots of recording actually, which is great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And so prior to all the American stuff, you came from the UK?
Yeah, I was born in the UK. I haven't lived there. I was living in Spain recently for 6 years.
Oh, wow. Where?
Yeah, I was mainly in Barcelona.
Okay, I love Spain.
Yeah. So I lived there, did a lot of work there. I was working a lot in yoga retreats and festivals and classes and meditation stuff, like just being the music singer on for years all around Europe, which was amazing. Got to travel and see amazing places and sing beautiful mantras in lots of classes and while people are chilling and stretching.
And the Spanish especially, I find they just love it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They are crazy for it. They really are. And they're so crazy. Like, they're crazy too, and I love it. They kind of really have a really relaxed attitude about yoga and meditation, and kind of they freestyle, which I like, you know. They kind of take it and make it their own, which I think that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah, and they're loud.
Oh my God.
They chant loudly.
Yeah, they do. Sometimes it's like, turn the volume down. But mainly you tune into their excitement and it's just, yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. So this is interesting for me because your music has popped up on Spotify for me so many times, and I have some of your songs on a lot of my playlists.
Yeah.
But I had no idea where you came from, because in the American mantra scene, I kind of know all the characters because I see them in Solstice.
But
I'm not so tapped into the European.
Yeah.
Mantra artist. So how did this all start for you?
So for me, it started, I started learning the guitar, was 21 at university, and then I already started composing songs and stuff. And then I started to get into meditation and all sorts of stuff. And then I started doing Kundalini yoga about 2004 or five, I think. I did my teacher training in London. And then a friend who was on the teacher training course, he was a music producer. And we would all do this. There were lots of musicians on our training, actually. So we all did the sadhanas and all that kind of stuff. And he was like, hey, do you want to record some of your mantras? Like after the training, I was like, yeah, great. So we did an album and we worked together on it. And that was the first album I did, and everyone loved it. And it traveled as it does through the social media invisible realm, and it gets to people. And then I started to get invited. I think first I was invited to, I think it was Portugal, actually. I can't remember if it was Portugal or Spain. And so I went to one, and then, you know, play it by ear, another one, and you start getting invited around to lots of places. So then I was just doing that loads, really, all around. And then I started to get more work in Spain. So it was kind of, I wanted at that point anyway, so it all kind of flowed together. And I moved to Spain. So I was based in Barcelona and then traveling all around different parts of Spain, yoga places, and Portugal and Switzerland and Sweden and Latvia and, yeah, France, and really, really nice places, Germany. So I did that. I did that for a long, long time. How long did I do that for? Where are we now? Oh my God, I can't believe it's 2019. It's crazy. I did that like full time for, and then I recorded more albums. I did a sadhana album. You know, I was singing all the sadhanas for all the retreats and stuff. I did a sadhana album, did another longer mantra album, Kundalini Yoga Mantras. And then one day, like I was sitting, I was singing at a retreat or something. I think it was like 13 or 14, something like that. And I was sitting there and I was singing, you know, like the mantras, they go on, right? Like half an hour, 10 minutes. Like you're, you know, sometimes you'll be there and you'll be for hours playing like one word. And I loved every second of it. And then one moment I was sitting there and all of a sudden I was really bored. And I was like, oh shit, I'm bored. Now what do I do? And I was like, okay, maybe it's a day. And then it kept happening a few times. So I was like, all right, I got to honor this, you know? And so then I kind of, then I just like, just really just followed my instinct and just, I finished the job that I had that year. And then I just let it go, like totally just let it go. And I was really, I was writing a lot of songs as well at the time. So I was so inspired by just all the things that I've learned through, you know, not just Kundalini yoga, through meditation, through the law of attraction, how the universe works, quantum physics, like everything. I'm so inspired as a musician, as a songwriter, that I was just writing lots of songs. And there's something for me so beautiful about singing in your mother tongue in English. And my first language is English. So all I wanted to do was sing English songs, you know, and I was just like pouring out these songs. And it felt great. And I was like, it was a part of me that kind of wanted to be expressed and to you know, to come out. So then I started doing that. And then, of course, like my concerts were always kind of mantras, and I always had some of my songs and people love my songs. But of course, in Spain, it was a little bit harder to introduce my English songs because they don't speak English.
Right.
So although they'd like my voice, the song, you know, the lyrics and stuff, they wouldn't get what I would mean unless I explained it, or unless they translate it, which is different when you understand language and the words and lyrics and stuff, you know, it makes a different impact. And then because I wasn't doing so much mantra stuff, then it just kind of phased out, you know, and I was like, all right, cool. Let's just let it go. And I think as well, as a creative person, when it becomes your work, it's a real balance between it being enjoyable and then it becoming something you have to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when it becomes something you have to do, it can be a lot of things, you know, it can be tiring, discouraging, you know, so many things. So I think it's, in retrospect, now I can see what happened is that I needed that time and space to kind of regather, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's making a lot of sense to me why I reached out to you now. This is no mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, never is.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's a big part of my life right now, is
right.
Tapping into you know, law of attraction, universal forces, really understanding how the mechanism of physical reality works and using it the most effective way possible, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And learning how it works and then playing with it. And, you know, in my case, I read and I don't read that much. I'm not going to kid myself. I'm not a big reader, but I listen to, I listen to a lot of meditation stuff and talks and, you know, I'm curious about beyond what we think there is, you know?
Yeah.
And then of course that's always going around in my brain. Then when I'm composing or I'm writing music, all the things that I'm learning are coming out in my songs, you know, and in my creative lyrics. And you know, like for example, I have a song that I released on an EP called Just Before I Sleep, and the song's called Just Before I Sleep, and that was like when I was listening to, I don't know if you've heard of Neville Goddard.
No.
So he's I don't know what you would call him or what he called himself. I don't know whether it's metaphysician. I'm saying that, but I don't quite know what that means. I mean, he kind of just spoke of the law of attraction and how it works.
Okay.
And he was like, you know, put yourself in the wishful field. So embrace that being the reality of your life. So then you shift into that being the reality of your life, right? Because of how reality works in quantum physics and there's no one reality. So when I was, you know, I did actually read one of his books, the smallest one, and listened to lots of his stuff. And I was like, okay, the wishful field. And then, you know, and then he talks about just before you sleep, because that part of your brain or whatever consciousness at that point is like your subconscious. It's almost like hypnotherapy, where your subconscious is more receptive to information. Mm. So when you lie down and you put an image or a feeling in your body of whatever it is you want, say you want health and you lie down and you feel totally healthy, then at that point, just before you sleep, it registers in your subconscious deeper, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm inspired, of course, I'm picking up the guitar and singing to myself about, you know, that song is pretty much about his teachings and stuff. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Louise Hay has this part of her practice where she has you forgive yourself for everything that happened right before in that day before you go to sleep. Yeah. Which is a nice feeling too.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, totally, because it gives you that relaxation, you know, and just like, oh, it's all okay. Like there's nothing to forgive anyway. Right, I don't even know why I have this feeling, you know?
Exactly. It's funny though, because you know it on a certain level, and then things come into your life and you have to remind yourself, and it's like
Oh my God, it's constant. Yeah. It's constant. It's constant, because it's one thing knowing something on an intellectual level or understanding the concept of something. Yeah. And this is another thing, really embracing into your reality and your emotions, you know? And that's a practice, because it takes time for it to integrate into your physicality, you know, for that, for a teaching or whatever, a belief, whatever, for it to become how you live your life, you know? So then it's a constant play between those things. It's like continuation and it's whatever it is, waves up and down, round and round. It's our human evolution. It's like we wouldn't exist if we didn't have like challenges, or you know what I mean, that's what makes us evolve, otherwise we wouldn't be alive, you know what I mean. I think I made peace with that actually recently, about a year ago. I was like, wow, these lows don't actually ever go, you know, like, okay, if I can make peace with the fact that they don't, I can be with them in a new way and carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed my life real big, which is amazing.
Yeah, I was talking to actually someone that I coached this morning, and I was expressing something similar, that like, it doesn't matter how far along you are, it's still a bumpy ride.
Always.
You know?
Always.
It's there's
ups and you know, and you don't know where the bumps are either.
Yeah. But I think you get better at being confident that you can still rise up.
Totally. Totally. I think it's like, we're good when we're good. You know what I mean? We know that.
Right.
And then, like, you know what I mean? So it's when...
It's easy to be peaceful on the yoga retreat, right?
Totally. And then the bumps arrive and you're like, okay. But you have a different awareness. You have a different consciousness, whether it's the second time you feel it or whether it's the 100th time you feel it, whatever. It's kind of like, okay, I'm moving through this now in a different way. Or if I'm not, being okay with the fact that I'm not,
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, it's always going to be bumpy, man. Forever.
Yeah. Oh, life. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is wonderful. I'm so glad that you were able to do this.
Yeah, this is really cool.
So what are you planning on doing after Toronto?
Well, I'm probably going to go back to London. And I have to, I'm always working on music projects. So I'm always just, and luckily I can work remotely, so I can carry on with the music projects that I'm doing. And then, to be honest, you know, I'm a bit baseless at the moment, which is an interesting time, because it's like, once I made peace with the fact that this is just a transition, it was much easier. Mm-hmm. I was wanting to find a base, because I don't know whether it's London. It's not Spain anymore. It could be Toronto, you know. Toronto's up there. Toronto is getting top marks at the moment for all my travels. Yeah.
Well, you never know. Maybe I'll ask you to move in later today.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still here. Out of curiosity, what of my music have you heard?
Mostly the mantra.
Okay,
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have, I can pull it up now, but I have like a Hara Hara Gobinde, on one of my playlists.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, you just sort of appeared.
Mm.
And I don't know. Yeah, Hara 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 Govinde.
I like that mantra. That's
but good. I think I've heard most of your mantra music.
Mm.
If not all of it. I like it. I like your deep voice. It's it's not typical for the genre, you know, because I think a lot of us, I have a higher voice.
Oh, do you sing?
Yes, I'm a musician.
Cool. I didn't know that.
I am a mantra artist. Yeah, so that's why I'm doing this podcast, because I sort of had a feeling you didn't know that, actually.
No, I didn't. Well, when you were like, you know, let's leave it a mystery, I was like, all right, cool. I won't ask any questions either. Like,
that's awesome.
I don't know who's going to show up.
Oh, I play your Gobinde Mukande a lot.
Oh, cool.
Let's see. I haven't heard this Just Before I Sleep, so I have some listening to do.
Just Before I Sleep is a really nice, chilled one.
I've heard
it's kind of along the yoga vibe, but with music.
Yeah.
And actually, the producer of that is the producer of the Jap Paddy album, the first one I did, the one with Gobinde Mukande.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like that first album I did. I think that's so far my best mantra album.
I don't hear that often. That's funny.
I know.
Like the first thing you've ever did.
I know.
Never done. Oh, that's it. So I'm done.
That's true. Shit, I never thought of it that way.
Can't top that.
No, it's cool. And it's fun, actually, because this year, every kind of 6 months or something, I start playing mantras again to see how I feel playing them. And, you know, they didn't last very long. But this year in March, I picked up the guitar and I started singing my mantras. And I was playing them for an hour and I loved it. I loved singing them. I loved playing them. And it felt really nice. It felt really fresh again. You know, like, I think I just played them so much over the years that I just didn't want to hear them anymore. But recently I started playing them again. And I was like, wow, I actually really like singing my own mantras again, which is cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, nice to come. I think it's nice to come back to things. It's nice to play old songs and see how they feel too.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see. Say again.
Oh, I was just saying, I've been feeling also the call, you know, for writing more songs and things. So I've started doing that as well. Because like you said, you know, it's nice to write things in your mother tongue.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say?
I think it's interesting, like, journey, really. Like, I don't know where my music is moving into, or, you know what I mean? Like, it is moving, but I don't even know what that looks like at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
Because the mantra is a very niche market, so it's a very kind of specific, you know what you're going for, you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm kind of like expanding with my songs, and you know, I'm curious to see how that's going to take shape. You know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of concerts while I was in New York, in Brooklyn and Staten Island for a non-profit, and the concert was really amazing. So it was, and I said it was, you know, I just promoted it as, you know, relaxing music, and it was in a yoga center, and it was my songs and it was mantras, and it was mainly my songs, but everybody loved it, and it made such a difference that people spoke English, because they relaxed in the same way they would in a yoga class or something. Like, and I said to everyone, I was like, you know what, do what you want, sleep, dance, whatever. And you have a set ready, but then halfway through that totally changed, because I saw slowly they were lying down. So I was like, all right, cool. And then I said, you know, to the people who looked like they wanted to lie down but weren't sure, I was like, you know, go ahead, lie down if you want to. And then 80% of the people were lying down. So then the concert ended up being just all my very relaxing songs and mantras, mm-hmm. for that vibe. See what I mean? So it wasn't a style that I was sharing. It was an emotion, maybe, or vibration. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And I think what I, excuse me, what I noticed that I bring with the music is relaxation. And so in a way, I feel like I'm relaxed when I'm singing, if I'm connected to that. So it doesn't matter what language I speak. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter what I'm singing, and whether it's a song, whether it's a mantra, whether it's repeated or not.
Yeah.
It was fun to see what that looked like for an English speaking audience to receive that and the mantras. And I think it worked really well.
So for me, because I went through some periods with my music too, it was singer-songwriter sort of depressing, complaining songs. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered yoga, and I started chanting mantras, and that's all I wanted to do.
Right.
But I found that because it was raising my vibration, and I was now able to bring in English lyrics that were of a different vibration.
Totally.
So I think that the energetic transmission, I mean, no matter what, and Yogi Bhajan used English. A lot of, I actually just did a cover of Don't Worry, Be Happy. And that, that is a mantra from. From an Indian teacher.
Oh, really? Fun.
Yeah. Prem Baba. I didn't even know that until I had to, you know, like register it. but yeah, I mean, English, you know, is powerful. And we also get to recode it. You know, we codify it when we use it in a more empowering way, right?
Yeah, totally.
It's the language of everything, you know.
Yeah, because what is language anyway? Language is an expression of your voice, mm-hmm. but doing the best that it can to express an emotion, right? Or a feeling, or a vibe, or a sensation, or an emotion. And then it comes out through the voice, which could be in Russian, could be in English, could be in Hindi, could be, you know what I mean? It could be anything. But what do people, or at least for me, when I hear a song, I feel it and I hear the vibe of it, whether I'm in the mood for that vibe or that vibe. Or, but then I suppose, yeah, lyrics are important too, because I write so many of them. You know, lyrics is like, we talk, we read books, we have conversations, we talk about things we learn, we express them, we sing about them, we do poetry about them, we draw about them. So, you know, then lyrics as well has its own power for someone who understands a poem in a language. Like, my mum's a poet, and my mum's from Cyprus, and, you know, her first language is Greek. So when she sings in Greek, and she's an amazing singer, loves singing in Greek, and her poems she writes beautiful poems, and they're in Greek.
Wow.
But I speak Greek, but not on a poetic level, you know what I mean? So then it's harder for me to really feel her essence of that poem, because it's a totally different language to me, you know?
Yeah.
But she's expressing all her passion and beauty in this language that looks like squiggles to me, you know what I mean? So
you do, because you don't read it, you just
No, I did learn the alphabet once, like years ago, but I've totally forgotten it. But I speak it, like my mom's, you know, all my mom's side of the family's Greek and Cyprus. I've been there a lot. Wow. I understand. I mean, I understand most Greek, unless they speak it really fast, then I get lost. And then I speak pretty slow. I mean, I speak better Spanish and French than I do Greek. And
okay.
My mum's like, why don't you speak Greek? It's good. When you live in a country, it's easier to learn. So
I was gonna ask. So you haven't lived in Greece?
No, I haven't lived in Cyprus. I've been there many times. Visited a lot. I've been there for like probably most 3 months, but I've never lived there enough to pick it up and be fluent at the language. Yeah,
that makes a difference.
Yeah,
struggle for me with Spanish. But
do you speak some Spanish?
I speak some Spanish. I speak fluent French. I grew up in France.
Oh, cool! You grew up in France?
Yes.
Oh, cool!
Isn't this fun getting to know each other? Yeah. I grew up in the south in Antibes. Near Nice.
Oh, fun. Oh, it's beautiful south of France.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But so it's very, Spanish is obviously very similar to French.
Yeah.
And I think because I also grew up in LA, so I have a lot of Spanish speaking around me.
Yeah.
And so it's like this thing where like I have this sort of heart tug with it. Like I feel like, oh, I could. I understand it so well. Like I could speak, but I'm a little restricted.
Yeah. That's like me with Greek. It's kind of like you're almost speaking it, but the words aren't coming out because you understand it. Yeah.
But it is similar to how well my imaginary Spanish is.
We'd be blabbering on in Spanish right now.
I know.
Where are you anyway? Are you in LA now?
No, I'm in Connecticut. I'm staying at my mom's house.
Where's that? Is that middle USA?
That is really close to New York.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So it's a commuter town for New York City. So it's about 1.5-2 hours from New York City.
Oh, so I'm pretty much north of where you are ish, roughly.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So are you in the same time zone?
Well, that's been confusing. I think it's 3:30, yeah.
Okay, so we were in the same time zone.
Yeah. And then I was like, was she talking about English time, like over Toronto and then US and then LA time?
I
was
so confused. You were on the West Coast. I'm not sure why.
That's so funny. And we're both in the same time zone.
We made it a little bit more complicated than it is. Cool.
Nice.
So yes, what else? Oh, it's 3:33.
Oh, brilliant. Love it when that happens.
Yeah. What else? What else about you should
we
know?
What else about me? Oh, so much. Well, I don't know. Let's pick a topic.
All right. The first thing that came was food.
Oh, food. Oh my gosh, I love food. I'm really excited actually because yesterday I'm staying in Airbnb in Toronto and the host kindly gave me a tour in her car yesterday and we ended up going to the grocery store. So I bought some really nice food, which I have in the fridge to cook. Really nice.
Would you like cooking for yourself?
Yeah, I do. I've been traveling a lot lately, so I haven't had the chance. And then you end up eating just so much lovely food out and about.
Yeah.
So I've been treating myself lots, and then now I'm gonna cook some nice food.
Do you cook Greek food?
Well,
or Cyprian is am I
Yeah, well, Cyprus is funny because it's like it's Cyprus and then it's Cypriot and there's Greek Cypriot, but it's also Greek. Like it's not part of Greece, but it's... So we don't actually say Cypriot food, we say Greek food. And then we say, do you speak Greek? So it's interesting. Yeah. Okay. But do I cook Greek food? Well, the thing is, I do a little bit. I know like maybe two dishes, but... Every time I cook with my mum, I write it down how to do it and we do it together.
And then I move, you know, I don't have a base, so I pack away my menus and I put them in somewhere for when I have a kitchen. And then I forget how to do them. And then when I'm, you know, unpack my menu thing again.
You have to call.
I'm like, Mom, how do you do that dish again?
That's what I do. I love my mom loves food. It.
Oh my God. Really? Yeah, yeah. That's true, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, so how many minutes for this again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've eaten great food in my life. I mean, I also grew up in Mauritius. I don't know if you know where Mauritius is.
Yeah.
Okay. So my dad's from Mauritius.
I've never been, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just a beautiful island. It's pretty small, but it's just like a dot in the middle of the, next to Madagascar. They speak French, English, and Creole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Creole is like a broken French. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's lots of Creoles around the world. Like,
yeah, I didn't realize that they were.
Okay, so here's a funny thing about Creole. I found out with a friend of mine, who I'm also working with in Brooklyn, a hip-hop artist. So he's from Haiti, right? And they speak Creole there. So I was like, say something in Creole in Haiti and let me see if I understand. And he did, and I understood. Okay, there was a bit of a difference, right? There was an accent here or there, but I knew what he was saying in that sentence. And I was trying to figure out for the life of me, like, how is that possible? How did Creole from Mauritius have a same thing to a Creole from Haiti when they're miles away and they didn't have technology them day? I'm thinking they were colonized by the French. So the French, they obviously, the Creole is broken down from French, sometimes more Portuguese, but in this case it's French. And maybe they were from the same, maybe the people were from the same country in Africa. So then that's how they would have interpreted French.
Yeah, that is fascinating.
I really don't know. And question. I still haven't figured it out. But yeah, so if you do find out, let me know.
It's probably not this, because that would be, I mean, this would be amazing. But so I was reading this book on linguistics.
Okay.
By Bill Bryson, and I didn't finish it. But the beginning part was fascinating, and it was about how the same words will emerge in different countries, and they've had no contact because they think there's something. I mean, the scientists think there's something in our brain. I think there's something being downloaded.
That's interesting.
So, but an entire language, I mean, that would be pretty, that would be far out.
So it was words, that words just, you know, people like, would just like say the same
word, ma, like the word mother, ma, like it's right. The same sound almost.
Yeah.
In every, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not that? Because there's no rational reason for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
we think about some
it?
Of the words that are the same in English and like, I don't know, Punjabi. I mean, that's really weird.
Yeah.
You know, there would be like a similarity, but there are, you can find some words.
Wow.
That are very similar.
That's so interesting. Yeah, that could be it. I mean, in this case, like I said, it wasn't all the words were the same because it changed rhythm or whatever. Like there were a few bits and pieces that weren't the same, but I got the gist of what he was saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what that is. I know there's like loads of Creoles, like 50 or more, maybe or less. I don't know if I'm exaggerating or under exaggerating, but there are a lot of Creoles in the world, and lots of them are really different. Like Lauryn Hill has got Creole on her album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Oh no, was it the Fugees? I can't remember, but they sing Creole, and I don't understand. I think I understand. Oh, Kimanye, she goes Kimanye. That means how are you, right? Kimanye, but that's not even close to French. That's like
no.
Manye is, you know. It's kind of like quelle manière, but you wouldn't say how are you quelle manière in French, would you? Would you say comment ça va or comment va, right?
Yeah.
So she goes quelle manière in the album, and I was like, that's the same as that's how we say quelle manière in Mauritius, like how's it going? So
that's me.
Question that we will.
Well, it's like which way are you going? Which way are you feeling?
What's it gonna be? Yeah.
That's funny. I've never heard Creole.
No. Creole is such a funny language and really fun.
Yeah.
And they make up, you know, it's not a dictionary language, and they kind of make it up as they go along. So if someone just makes up a word or an expression and then say it long enough, it'll become something that they say, you know.
Oh, that's and, so fun.
You know,
so
it's, and you write like it how
living
you want.
Language. It's like a living, evolving language.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's fun. You write it how you want. And also, it's like, you know how different languages like embrace a kind of different personality? You know, like, it's almost like when I speak French, I'm almost like a different person to when I speak Spanish to when I speak English, right? And then Creole is the same. And Creole is just funny and fun. It's like when you have a conversation with a Mauritian person in Creole, you've already got a grin on your face and you're laughing because you know you're going to laugh at the situation because the situation is ridiculous. Like, that's what all the conversations are like. It's really weird. You know, you could be at a funeral and you're like laughing about the person's shoes or something. It's ridiculous. And I'm like, why are we laughing so much? It just makes no sense. But it is. Sometimes I call my cousins and we're just like, just saying, how's it going? And we'll just be laughing our heads off. It really is a fun language. And it's
that
just it's
like
comedy.
A
it's
everyone
a bit
needs
comedy.
To know.
Yeah, it's really it's a really comedy language. They use expressions and they you know that it's really funny language. It's you know, sometimes I'll be on the phone with my cousins and we hardly talk, we're just giggling away at just but asking what you're cooking or what did you do today, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah, that's true about languages have their own personalities and then the words that they create to, you know, depending on what they need to describe. And, you know, like there's, I feel a little bit more serious when I speak French.
Right. Know, yeah, totally. More, yeah. Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then like, I so badly want to be able to speak Spanish because I feel that it has this heart opening power.
Oh yeah, it does. Spanish is really yeah. like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just like what creates that language? Is it the language that makes the culture how it is or the culture that creates the language? I don't know.
That is an interesting one. That is an interesting one. Like, did they have a vibe first? You know what I mean? Was it a vibe of like, you know, the Spanish being kind of like more flamboyant and kind of relaxed and open-hearted and warm and then therefore their language is like that? And then the French kind of a bit more, you know, a bit more kind of like the British, you know, we're kind of more reserved and more mm-hmm. polite and, you know, we hold back. And I wonder what, I think it's the, I reckon it's the culture first because it's also to do with the weather, I think.
I would, that would be my inclination was to say that. Yeah. But then not everyone responds to weather in the same way, you know, like
true.
The French have similar weather to the Spanish, and the Italians, you know, depending on where you are.
True. But I don't think, but maybe it's not like a conscious choice whether they like it or not. Maybe it's just like a human species thing, like a bodily function of like you generally are more relaxed in warm weather than in cold weather. But then I don't know, maybe that's a total assumption. Maybe that's not true at all. Like if you're born in Antarctica and or Alaska and you love it, like maybe you are relaxed and I don't know. Like I don't know.
Well, there is something that happens to us, I think, on an unconscious level when we have to survive, you know? So like if you're in Norway, that there is probably an underlying fear of, you know, perishing because of the cold. I mean,
freezing, like you're falling in a lake.
You know, because like, what if your heat goes out? Or you know,
that's true. That is true.
Like this looming.
Yeah, because you basically you have to keep warm.
Yeah.
Like if you're frozen, you won't live. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe there is a kind of more of it. Maybe your cells do tense a little bit as a protective mechanism to, you know, keep the heat in your body or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you ever read the Anastasia books?
No. What are they? No.
Okay. So I read the first one. Okay, but there's, cool. It's a whole series and it's these people who live in the, like the wilderness of Siberia, I think, or Russia. Mm-hmm. And they live basically naked in the snow They have babies.
Whoa.
They, you know, they gather their food. Seems like they don't, you know, they plant their own vegetables and stuff, but like a completely different belief system about
yeah.
you know, what survival means, basically.
Wow.
So people became kind of fascinated with this series.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Exactly, you see? So then my theory makes no sense at all. Because it's in the power of the mind. It's like, you know, then you just, you know, like these monks or people who like, you know, warm their body cells and then go in freezing water.
Right.
You know, this guy sent me a video, actually, of one of my songs that he loves and he's been repeating. And he put the song on just a little home video that he had of him. You know where they go in the ice? Like
yes,
the on a lake and they go into the ice and they just sit there or whatever, you know, they're obviously, I think, practicing not dying of hypothermia probably, like, you know what I mean? But it's incredible, like.
What's your spiritual practice? Not dying.
I think it's amazing. It's like, gosh, how? You know, and then it's like you realize the power of your intention.
Yeah.
And then it all comes back to all the things you learn about creating reality and the power of your intention, the power of your thought, the power of creating a reality where you have now programmed your cells to be able to withstand this freezing cold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just by the intention, whether it's, you know what I mean? It is incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
That is something that that fascinates me. So I'm not sure if it was the same thing, but there's also this guy Wim Hof who does mm-hmm. this breathing method, and the breathing okay. helps you to get into those ice baths and stay in there for really long periods of time. Cause he says that it's just the lack of oxygen that makes you cold.
Oh,
so you can get like a ton of, you know, prana. I interpret it that way. If you can get a ton of life force energy, you know, in your body, then you can withstand the cold.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. I don't have an experience of it, but I think that would be a cool experience.
Wow.
I would do that before skydiving.
Actually, so would I. I definitely would. I've done a lot of breathing practice through my years that I think if I could do anything, I would. That would be something I could tune into. I wouldn't want to do skydiving. No.
Although I was talking with someone the other day and he said that you don't actually feel the fall because the plane is also moving. So you're just gliding.
Oh, interesting.
But
so you kind of glide falling. Yeah. But until you've stopped the speed, then you drop.
No, because then the parachute goes up.
Oh, interesting. Oh my God. That makes sense now.
Yeah. But I mean, there's still, you know, the matter of staring down at the earth
and jumping out of a moving plane.
Right. I mean, there's that, you know.
There's that. I'd rather have a cup of tea and just like watch someone. I tell you what, though, you know what I did? What was it, last summer? I was in Cyprus. Me and my brother and my nieces and nephews went to one of those 3D virtual reality things.
Uh-huh.
And I did a virtual reality of skydiving. No, I did a virtual reality of the one where they look like a bat, you know, with the arms, where they have the arms out and the leg fins. They look like these.
Planing or something?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Anyway, yeah, I know.
So I did a virtual reality of that. I'm kidding you not. I've never done it, but it felt real. It felt so real. Like, I was like, what is going on? And my stomach felt funny. And I was like, this is insane. And I really felt like I was doing it. So I was like, I'm happy. I've jumped up. And it was over Rio as well. So it was perfect.
I would do that.
Yeah, try that, man. Try that if you want the experience. It was incredible. Like, I don't think I would actually do it in my life. It would just require a whole dedication, really, wouldn't it? That'd be years of
mind, it would take years.
That's true.
I mean, it might, you know, it might take
maybe
in 3 years, maybe.
I
don't know.
But I suppose just some people love it. Like, some people love
The
adrenaline, love the rush. Funny enough, I love watching documentaries about those kind of things.
Okay.
But I like doing it from the comfort of my sofa.
I think it also comes from like your sensitivity to stuff. Like if you're extremely sensitive, I think you don't need so much adrenaline to feel that high. You know, like I mean, there are rides at Disneyland that are enough for me. It's nothing scary, but yeah. I'm like, that was fun. Yeah. I think the jumping out of a plane would be a little much for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I just think people are different and they just, you know, their level of what feels how far they can push it is what they feel comfortable with, you know, and they enjoy that, you know, because maybe that, whatever it is, that feeling or that sensation is, you know, is just joyful for them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And it's also, you know, what you think of as scary and not scary. Like the guy who was telling me about the skydiving.
Yeah.
He would rather do that than sing in front of people. That's way more terrifying.
Right. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take singing any day.
Yeah. That would be a funny choice. That we never had to make.
I went on a roller coaster for the first time this year. One of the big ones, you know, can't remember what it was called now. Six Flags or something like that. So
yeah, that's
right. Uh-huh. And I'd never been on roller coaster like that before. Like I'd been on, I mean, I grew up in Mauritius, you know what I mean? The biggest we had was like a big wheel, you know, or some bumper cars.
Uh-huh.
And then in England, we you know, in England, we got a couple of theme parks, but not massive rides. Oh my God, it was so fun. It was so fun. It was really, really
fun. Did you go upside down?
Yeah, we did upside down. Some were more fun than others, but I'd choose the ones I'd do next time. Yeah.
I'm kind of timid about roller coasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's even... I thought I loved roller coasters, and then I was in Las Vegas and my husband took me on on the New York roller coaster.
Okay.
And I asked them if it was, you know, scary before and they didn't seem to think so, but it was just a succession of the largest drops that I had ever experienced. And I'm like clinging to him the whole time. I went to the bathroom and sobbed. Like, why did I do this? And since then I've been a little hesitant.
Yeah. You're like, I'll just have some candy floss, thanks.
That'll be my fair experience. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's well. Cool.
Thank you so much for taking a chance and coming into this unknown experience.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah.
Do you want to tell people how they can find you online?
Sure. Well, my name is a giveaway. Uh-huh. Luckily, there's not too many of mine. Alexia Chellen, and that's my music on Spotify, iTunes. Oh yeah, my website is .com. Yeah. Uh-huh. And
I'll put a link.
Social medias is
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. And I'll be excited to share the music as and when it's coming out. So
do you have an idea?
So actually, what I didn't tell you about was I have a single coming out soon in the next few weeks.
Oh,
which is a
fantastic
song of mine, which is something I've never quite... I sent the song to a friend of a friend producer in Holland. And so I wrote the song and he produced the song. And it's sounding great. I've never kind of worked like that. But I'm, like I said, I'm like trying out new things. And that's coming out. I don't know the date exactly because I'm finishing up a music video to go along with it. But it will definitely be, where are we now? October. It will be sometime in November.
Okay. So it might be out by the time you're listening to this podcast, because this will...
Oh, fun.
This won't air immediately.
Okay, cool.
So what's it called? What should they look for?
The song is called Teardrops.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Teardrops by Alexia Chellen.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we'll look for the audio and the visual.
Of the song.
You said there was a video too, right?
Yeah, I'm putting a video. I'm doing a little DIY home video to it. And I've just been working. I was up till 6 a.m. last night doing that. Just got into a zone, and I'm gonna watch it again, because you know when you think something's great, but then you watch it 2 days later and you're like, oh no, I was just tired or something. But hopefully it's good. I'm gonna give it a few days, but it's looking good so far, so hopefully that video, little homemade video, will work. But definitely the song is coming out anyway, so, but I will keep you posted on
Yes.
When I know exactly the date that I'm releasing it and stuff and the links and all that, I'll let you know for sure.
That'd be great.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Well,
nice one.
Have a wonderful rest of your day in Toronto.
Thank you.
Enjoy the leaves.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And you too. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for the lovely chat. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, you too. It has.
Cool.
All right.
Well, bye. Take it easy.
Bye.
Teardrops are making up an ocean. I never knew so many'd come from me. Sometimes they take over every part of me I cannot see. I'm drowning at their sacred feet. The ground beneath me shakes and is shifting. Lost in time, my heart is breaking into pieces. I need a change in paradigm. Teardrops are making up an ocean. I never knew so many come from me. Sometimes they take over every part of me I cannot see. I'm drowning at their sacred feet. The dark, it sits here right beside me. I'll take it on. My soul is bursting into pieces. I'll patch it up and carry on. And I hope that every day from now will shine a little brighter, now that I've tired out my eyes. Well, yes, I hope that every day from now will shine a little brighter, now that I've tired out my eyes. Empty from inside.
All right, thanks for joining us. Check out Alexia's new single wherever music is sold, streamed, or downloaded. Bye.